got a spirit of rebellion. You don't care about marriage. You don't care about any kind of submission. You don't care about the government. You don't care about anything. And you go to church and sing and yell and act like you're free because you don't care for any of that stuff. Well, truthfully, you better start submitting until it all lines up and makes sense to you. We got lots of tapes on all this. God is serious about this. We have to hate anything that we have because of the rulership of Satan. All right, Matthew 23:28. We're starting by making you hate this. Okay, let's just go to 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Okay, a scribe and a Pharisee, just so you can put it in modern terms for you, it's someone who goes through all the religious do's and don'ts, and they follow them. But their hearts are not connected with God. They're still full of lawlessness, although they cover it up with good works. Okay? For you cleanse the outside of the cup of the dish, but within you are full of robbery and excess. You know, we need to make sure we're not full of excess. This might be something to really look into, that we don't have to have more than we really need. God might be talking to me a little bit tonight. It's funny because I was asking him why I don't want to get rid of all those clothes. I just build a bigger closet. You know, I've got all these things and I open up a cabinet in my kitchen and I haven't gone in there for a year. There's so much stuff piled in there. Why can't I just throw it all away or give it away or do something with it? And that's true me. So maybe there's a spirit of excess that goes along with greed where you feel like you've got it. We've already talked about avarice, but where you just have to have more than enough, more than you need. More than what really God would bless you with for your needs. And so we hog everything. Would you not call America a nation in this particular situation? So we don't want to be full of robbery and we don't want to be full of excess. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may become clean also. In other words, when you let God get rid of iniquities, guess what? You'll quit doing those sinful things. You won't have to, it won't be an effort. It's not an effort when you get rid of iniquities. When you get rid of the iniquity, if you have iniquity of drinking in your family line or doing drugs or sexual sin, and you get rid of that iniquity like it's gone, when that happens, then you won't even think like that anymore. You won't be worried with that anymore. 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitened graves and outwardly indeed appear beautiful, but within you're full of bones of the dead and uncleanness. So you also indeed outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And that's the place of iniquity. So we're seeing here that it's not necessarily what someone looks like, which shows the amount of iniquity. People who choose to eat of the tree of good, with intellectualism. Every new ager is full of iniquity, but it looks so good. Many of these people that the media use as examples of great heroes or compassionate people, let me tell you, if it's not because of the Holy Spirit, it's iniquity. It's a goodness denying the power of God. So it's not by what you see necessarily. It will show up though. The trials that are coming, the things that come into your life will really reveal if iniquity's in there. Some of you just know. You know you're full of iniquity. You know that you still think about sin, you fight sin. You know it. You know there's kids locked up in you that are still wounded from the past who haven't let go. You know it. We're one of the groups that actually admit that we know it. Hallelujah. That's the key, because hypocrisy is when you don't admit that you know it. Hypocrisy is when you hide it and pretend it's not there. You know that you cuss at work, but when you get around, maybe not around this church group, but when you get around church people, all of a sudden you watch what you say because you're trying to put on a look of righteousness. Do you see? In other words, you should be the same anytime. And that's what people get a little shocked when they come around here, because if you come in here during the daytime and whatever, you're going to find me looking and acting the same as when I'm preaching. I mean, God's had to change some things, and he's dealing with all of us and all that kind of stuff. And you listen to the tapes, I've repented about everything there is on those tapes. Who are you? If you're a different person around different people, you have iniquity. Just be who you are and don't be a hypocrite. But be who you are, but don't think it's okay where there's still sin. I know one person who used to say all the time, well, at least I'm not a hypocrite like the rest of the people in the church. I know that I drink and I smoke and I cuss and all. I said, well, you know what? That's worse. To brag about your iniquity while you sit in church and you think it's okay that you're sitting in the presence of God, hearing the word of God, and yet you don't hate your iniquity is worse than being a hypocrite. To be in agreement with iniquity and be a believer is a slap in the face of our God. Do you get that? You're basically saying, I don't care what you paid for. I don't care that you came to set me free. I don't think I'd be slapping Jesus, folks. Every time you sin, you should feel conviction. If you still feel conviction, you haven't hardened your heart so much that the enemy owns you. And if you have hardened your heart so much because it's been so painful trying to get free and not being able to get free, and I will publicly apologize for a very anemic and weak church and anemic and weak ministry, because that's what the American church is. And even we are pretty weak, but we're going after God with all our hearts because we want to see people set free. Just because I'm weak in ministry doesn't make Jesus weak in setting you free. And you're not going to be able to blame me or other ministers on that day when you stand before God, because he knows that you don't need any person to pray for you and you can be set free if you sell out. Nobody gave me an inner healing when my daughter was dead in front of me. I surrendered. I could either have gotten mad at God and blamed God, and everybody would have given me a pity party for the rest of my life. Thank God I didn't want a pity party for the rest of my life. And I really believe when I would have waddled into heaven, if I got there all beaten up and battered, and poor me, and why did it happen? Explain it, God. I think he would have been crying tears, saying, I had so much for your life, but you let that iniquity of self-pity inside of you take what I had for you. I don't think he's going to say, oh, baby, poor thing, I'm so glad you're here now. Now I can explain about the big bad devil and what he did, and it wasn't me who did. No, I think he's going to say, I had so much for your life, but you let that iniquity of self-pity destroy you. Destroy what we could have had. I believe he's going to show you what you would have had. And I believe that's the tears that are going to be cried in heaven that he's then going to wipe away and say, welcome into my kingdom, but you'll have whatever position that you were willing to surrender enough to get. You know, some of us are going to rule and reign with Christ. But I don't believe, if you don't rule and reign over your iniquity here, you will never rule and reign with Christ. You might think it's okay to play around and goof off and whatever. You may think it's okay to be lukewarm. You may think it's okay not to deal with stuff. But I really believe when you get to heaven and you begin to see God call out the ones who are ruling and reigning with him, who sold out, who hated iniquity, who hated sin like he hated sin, who understood the kingdom and wanted the things of God, I think then your foolishness and not putting away childish things is going to cause you great grief. You know, you only have one life. You only have one opportunity to sell out to God and his kingdom and to hate the enemy or to play games. You only have one life. And you're not going to be able to blame your iniquities. You're not going to be able to blame what your daddy did. You're not going to be able to blame what your mama did. You're not, especially with the kind of teaching that you've gotten here. To him is given much, much is required. I'm glad that we're people who are going after righteousness and holiness and hating the devil. And I'm glad that we know that God is big and Satan is just a stinky little rotten. Wait till you see him. The Bible says when they actually saw Satan before he's thrown into the pit, everyone was amazed at how puny he was, how ugly he was, and how he wasn't scary at all. And you're going to sit there and go, that defeated me. That kept me smoking cigarettes. That kept me cussing. That ruined my marriage. That ruined my relationship with my kids. And you're going to see Jesus. Oh my gosh. And he's going to let you get around the Father's throne. And you're going to see the power and the glory and the majesty of God. And you're going to see that nasty, stinking little scrawny looking nothing devil. And you're going to say, how could I have been so blind? How could I have allowed iniquity from that? Iniquity is the devil's kingdom living and reigning inside of you. Okay? Iniquity is the devil's kingdom living and reigning inside of you. It's where, because of those things that have come up through generations and have never been renounced, have never been repented of, have never been, really, the blood of Christ has never come to them. The blood of Christ never stopped murder. The blood of Christ never stopped sexual sin. The blood of Christ never stopped self-pity. The blood of Christ never stopped rejection. The blood of Christ never stopped addiction. Whatever wasn't stopped just keeps going. Doesn't that make sense? If you got a stream and that stream is rolling on in one direction and the flow is going one way and you stick something in that stream, it's going to just keep on going and going and going until what? Till something stops it. Jesus Christ was the something that stopped it. Jesus Christ is what stopped what Satan wants to flow in your stream. And he exchanged it for living water. It's not the Dead Sea anymore. He exchanged it for life. He says, you don't have to have this. You don't have to have your daddy's alcoholism problem. You don't have to have your grandfather's perversion problem. You don't have to have your mother's anger problem. You don't have to have your great uncle's bitterness and poor me problem. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus says you don't have to have any of that. Without Christ, it all just goes upstream. You can put on pretty clothes and you can go and get a PhD and you can be as smart as you want and do anything you want. But you know what? All of that's still flowing through you. All of that's still part of you. All of that's still in charge of who you are. But Jesus Christ, and we'll look at this when we get to Isaiah and different things, he came and he stopped the flow of the enemy. And because of his blood, it took his blood to change that stream of evil. It took his blood, it took his life, and he stopped it. And what some of you do is you let it come, and I say you get that nasty river in you, or stream, and you let it come out 3/4, but that 1/4, you still let that junk flow right on in. You just let that flow right on in to that living water that Christ wants in you. And there's scriptures that says the two should not be together. The bitterness, the bitter, salty waters should not be flowing with the fresh. And yet, most everybody in this room will say, you're like, well, maybe I got about 1/10 of it. I only have about 1/10 of it clogged up. I only got like 1/10 of it, if I'm honest. And you know, let me tell you this. You know what the anointing is? The true anointing, when Karen sings, you know that the anointing's in the place. It's not because God said, oh, I just like her better. I'm just going to pour it a little bit more, power when she sings. I'm going to pour it a little. No, because on her river, her little stream that from her past, and she's been through it too, she just kept letting the blood of Christ, she just kept letting that blockage of the Holy Ghost come and come. And now, yeah, we're still working on things. There's a trickle of what the enemy wants to do. There's a trickle of this and that, and it gets through. But see, when she sings, you see the living water of God. It's not because she practices more. She hardly practices at all. We don't have time around here to practice anything. I don't preach well because I study, because I don't have time to study. Because I'm too busy doing the things of the kingdom. God gave me all this from 6 to 6:30 this morning. And I put out a Strong's and I know the word so well. I can just look at over 600 scriptures and know which ones kind of are the ones he's saying. And I just write them down. I know it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. If I had to look all 600 up and then put notes together. Do you know how long it would take me to get to preach this? But I'm going to tell you what. The anointing wouldn't be there to do that. If it wasn't mainly God blocking the past and a flow. I want you to see when we get rid of iniquities, I don't care who you are, what God wants to do is he wants to step in that stream. He wants to step in that stream, the river, what do you want to call it? It's called stream. That stream that's going to the river life. He wants to step in there and he wants to block it with his blood, that wall. He wants his wall to stop it, completely stop the kingdom of darkness from flowing through you anymore. And then you'll be a new creation in Christ Jesus. You won't be fighting what your daddy did. You won't be fighting what happened to you. You won't be fighting what people called you. You won't be fighting. Why? Because it won't be flowing through you no more. Now, it may take a little bit of time once you block it off for you to walk out of it. It may take a little time. Because then your flesh has got to start acting different. Then you got to get excited about God. Then you got to get in the things of God. But over time, you won't even recognize you. I don't recognize me. I don't recognize the way I used to think about people. I don't recognize the way I used to talk. I don't recognize the horrible jokes I used to tell. I was terrible. I don't recognize how nasty I used to be, and I could let somebody really have it if I wanted to. I'm not proud of that. It's horrible. Satan takes your gifts and he perverts them. There's that place. I believe what happened when Lauren died was I let God come and block the whole past. Up till then, I still had greed. I was still wanting money and ministry. How can I use my gifting to get rich and also live a high life and preach the gospel? This will be great. And God just saw all this mixture. And he said, oh, she doesn't see the sin. She's not protected. So Satan was allowed to attack. And I could have made up some doctrine, got all bitter, made up some pity party doctrine about how we don't understand. And I'm not being mean and making fun of people, but it's sad that most of the church would rather see themselves faithful than recognize that God is the only one who's faithful. God is faithful even when we're not. And true revelation of iniquity and wickedness in your heart is when you get that light bulb. Instead of poor you, there's nothing poor about us. And once we find Christ. But what happens when he puts that wall there and he stops your past, he forgets your past. The only time your past even has any place in your present is when you use it to glorify God, not when you glorify the devil with it. When you're able to say, oh, but the grace of God. Oh, I know how horrible it would have been had not been for God's grace. You give your testimony. You overcome by your testimony, blood of the Lamb, for his glory. There's no shame. How can they get up and say that? Because it's not them. They're not in that old flow. They're not in that filth of iniquity. Some of you, you need to stop a little bit and ask, how much? I tell you, Norman, the reason the funeral's canceled, because when you first came to the ministry, I don't even know. You might have had, crossed your river, you might have had a fifth of God's blood stopping your past. But as you've changed and as you've gone through inner healing deliverance, that blood of Christ put that wall there. And to anyone who knows you will say, he's not the person we met. He went from being, ooh, to he is the nicest guy. He is the servant of servants. And you know what? Eventually, that God's letting the iniquity that you no longer held on to, the past sins of your fathers, all the things you did, all the shame, all of it was blocked by the blood of Christ. And then that infirmity of AIDS that was on this side of being saved, that was on this side with iniquity, when iniquity was blocked, it can't get through, and you're over here in the river of God, praying for people and seeing them free. Hallelujah.